In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, we know that one rainfall or one watering is not sufficient to properly irrigate plants, because many rainy days and many waterings are needed to keep them healthy and vibrant. Long periods of drought and neglect to water will result in the death of the plant. In like manner, according to St. John Chrysostom, many irrigations of prayer are needed in order for the soul to practice virtue and overcome temptation. Neglect of prayer can and eventually will lead to the shriveling up of the life of grace in the soul. Since prayer is necessary for the welfare of the soul, as breathing is to the body, we must be faithful to our daily prayers. Through prayer, we obtain countless blessings from God, including His fatherly protection, oceans of grace, the weakening of our disordered passions, help to overcome temptation, and strength to carry our cross. If we have a deep love for God, we will want to pray to Him throughout the day in order to express our love and to receive from Him the graces we need to fulfill His holy will. Remember, prayer is simply the lifting of our mind and heart to God. It does not always have to be the recitation of written prayers. If God is our greatest treasure in life, we will frankly raise our hearts and minds to Him. For our Lord said, "Where thy treasure is, there also thy heart will be." By nature, we frequently speak to those whom we love. Even more so should we frequently talk to Almighty God. My dearly beloved in Christ, many people are troubled by distractions during prayer. According to St. Basil, God is offended by these thoughts and distractions only when they're voluntary and we do nothing to turn our mind away from them. When we willfully entertain distractions and focus on other things during prayer, we offend God. St. John Chrysostom said, "How can you expect God to hear you if you do not hear yourself?" The Annals of Chateau contain the following vision which St. Bernard had one day when at prayer with his religious brethren. At the side of each of the brethren, he saw an angel who stood and wrote. Some of the angels wrote with gold, others with silver, still others with ink, and some with water, while a number held the pen in their hand without writing at all. At the same time, God enlightened the saint to know what this meant. The golden order prayers of those particular brethren were said with the greatest fervor. The silver indicated the devotion of others left something to be desired. The writing in ink meant the words were carefully spoken, but that no devotion accompanied them. The water was intended to show that the words were carelessly pronounced and little or no attention paid to what was said. Finally, the angel who wrote nothing at all were standing beside the brethren who knowingly entertained voluntary distractions. My dearly beloved in Christ, there are three general causes for distractions during prayer. The first is caused by our own carelessness and negligence. When we go through the routine of our day with little regard to the state of our soul and the dangers to it. By avoidance of sin, our minds can more easily dwell upon the things of God. Therefore, if we wish to be recollected during our prayers, we must carefully guard our heart and senses during the day. Although it's impossible for us to completely avoid inopportune thoughts when we pray, we must quickly turn our minds away from them so we can focus on our union with God. Father Alfonso Rodriguez stated, "Since it's quite a common and natural thing to think often of what one loves, if you wish to keep your heart steady and firm at prayer, and that thoughts of vain and irrelevant things may be forgotten and put an end to, you must mortify your affection for them. Despise the fleeting things of earth and fix your heart on those of heaven. And the more you advance and grow in this, the more also you advance and grow in firmness and steadiness and attention at prayer. An example would be that if one is overly concerned with buying the latest styles in clothing or the newest technological gadgets, then it would be hard to keep the mind off them when praying. Second, many distractions come from the demons who try to hinder our communication with God. St. Basil says, "There's a devil sees that prayer is a means whereby all good comes to us. He endeavors by all ways and means he possibly can to hinder it and put 1,000 obstacles in our way, that finding us bereft of this help, he may gain readier entrance into our soul for his deceits and temptations." Since the devil knows that prayer is a primary source of grace, spiritual blessings, and remedy for all our ills, he does everything he can to cause us to either pray badly or shorten our prayers or omit them altogether. My dearly beloved in Christ, third, some distractions are caused without any fault of ours due to the weakness of our nature. Sadly, as a result of original sin, our wounded nature is very weak and infirm. If we acknowledge our misery, we can grow in self-knowledge and humility, which are very pleasing to God. If we tend to say our night prayers at a very late hour, we know we'll have difficulty in staying awake and concentrating on them. If necessary, we should schedule them earlier. Since God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble, we should pray with great reverence and humility. We should express to Him our spiritual poverty, our misery, and our needs, trusting in His infinite goodness and mercy. When we pray in union with Mary, our prayers are purified of their many imperfections, and thus they are rendered more acceptable to God. The saints teach that humility is a means to acquire the gift of prayer. They also say that prayer should help us to attain humility and to advance in this important virtue. At first, this seems contradictory. In effect, by prayer, we show how very much we need and depend on God. By the very fact that we call God as our Father, call upon Him as our Father for help, we are humbling ourselves. He will give us the grace to expand the virtue of humility in our interaction with others. As a direct result of our prayers, we will become less critical and judgmental because we're so busy trying to conquer our own sins that we don't have time to scrutinize the faults of others. There are times when we truly strive to pray well, but through weakness do not give sufficient attention to our prayers. In such cases, God is not offended, but is moved to compassion and mercy because He knows our infirmity and sees that we're trying to fight off distractions. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on them that fear Him, for He knoweth the clay of which they are formed. My dearly beloved in Christ, sometimes it's very difficult to pray well because we suffer from spiritual dryness, temptations, and distractions. We feel that such prayers are lacking in value and merit. However, if we persevere in prayer despite such difficulties, our prayers will be more meritorious and pleasing to God than if we enjoy devotion and spiritual consolation. Therefore, although often when we pray, we do not feel spiritual consolation, we still receive grace and strength to practice virtue and resist temptation. In like manner, when a sick person receives proper treatment, he may not feel any relief. Nevertheless, it increases his strength and helps him to recover. Consolation in prayer is a free gift of God, and it's not earned by us. If it comes or not, it's through God's will, not because we think ourselves so fervent and deserving. St. Bridget was once disturbed by many distractions during prayer. The Blessed Virgin then appeared to her and said, "The devil, envious of the good of men, does all in his power to put impediments and obstacles in their way when they're at prayer. But daughter, take care to persevere as best you can in your good will and holy desires, whatever temptation may trouble you, how evil soever it be, and unable as you may feel to throw it off. That will be a very good and profitable prayer and of great merit before God." My dearly beloved in Christ, during Lent and on Ember Days and vigils of important feast days such as Christmas, the Catholic Church unites prayer with fasting. The purpose is to teach us that when we accompany our prayers with fasting or acts of self-denial, they become much more powerful and pleasing to God. In addition, the Roman ritual gives the following directive to those who perform exorcisms. He will be mindful of the words of our Lord, to the effect that there is a certain type of evil spirit who cannot be driven out except by prayer and fasting. Therefore, let him avail himself of these two means. Sometimes prayer alone is not sufficient. Consequently, the spiritual writers encourage us to unite prayer and fasting when we're asking God for a special intention. In his book, The Way of Interior Life, Father DeLeon has written, "Do you desire that your prayers be infallibly heard? Above all, never weary nor waver in prayer. He who ceases to pray soon loses humility and confidence, and therefore deserves not to be heard." An ancient father of the church says, "Pray not in an imperious tone, as if you would be heard at once." That would seem as if you expected from God instant obedience to your commands. Do you not know that he rejects the proud, but gives grace to the humble? What? Your pride revolts when you're constrained to repeat the same petition? Does not show a lack of confidence in the divine goodness, so quickly to despair of obtaining what is asked, or to regard the least delay as a refusal? If our petitions are not quickly granted, we should submit to his holy will and not lose hope. God's timing is perfect. When our prayers do not seem to be answered, we must continue to pray for an extended period of time. Our confidence in God should still remain unshaken. If we persevere in prayer, our hope will be richly rewarded in God's time. Children are great at being persistent. They often ask for something over and over again from their parents. Their persistence definitely gets their parents' attention. They're finally allowed what is beneficial for them at the time or a promise for the future. My dearly beloved in Christ, for 16 years, St. Monica offered her prayers and tears for the conversion of her son, Augustine. He had been spiritually blinded by unbelief and enslaved to carnal pleasure. St. Monica only desired that her wayward son become a Catholic and be happily united in marriage. Because of her persevering prayer, she had the joy of seeing something far greater. Augustine not only became a fervent Catholic, but was also consecrated as a bishop and became a doctor of the church. Had his mother stopped her prayers after 1 or 2 years due to discouragement, or even after 10 or 12 years, ceased to beg God for the conversion of her son, what injury would she not have done him? Of what consolation deprived herself? Of what treasures robbed the future generations? Father DeLeon encourages us to persevere in prayer with the following words. "I say to those pious souls who plead at the foot of the altar for those priceless spiritual goods for which God is so pleased to be petitioned, to those happy souls who in the light of the Lord have understood the true value of earthly things in comparison with spiritual things, to courageous souls who groan under the yoke of passion and implore deliverance from perverse affections, to fervent souls inflamed with the desire of serving God holily and perfectly, to pious souls who plead for the conversion of a beloved husband, wife, of sons, of daughters, or friends. I beg you, in God's name, not to weary. Never leave off praying. Be indefatigable. Be persevering. Today God denies, tomorrow you shall receive. This year you have been unsuccessful. Next year you will superabound. Do not consider your labor lost. God numbers your every sigh. You shall receive according to the measure of your supplication. You're collecting to yourself a treasure which will suddenly be yours and amply fill your desires. The gospel narrative of the Canaanite woman also teaches us to persevere in prayer. Jesus retired to the district of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a Canaanite woman came out of that territory and cried, saying, "Have pity on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is sorely beset by a devil." He answered her not a word. And his disciples came up and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." He said in answer, "It's not fair to take the children's bread to cast it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, for even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said, "O woman, great is thy faith. Let it be done to thee as thou wilt." And her daughter was healed from that moment. My dearly beloved in Christ, God's ways are certainly not our ways. Although it appeared to others that our Lord treated the Canaanite woman sternly, it would not grant her request. Her persistence caused his sacred heart to rejoice. Despite apparent rejection, she continued to entreat his mercy and plead for the cure of her daughter. The Abbot Garrick has written, "O disguised goodness that assumes the appearance of cruelty, with what tenderness do you seemingly reject those to whom you intend to grant the most?" In closing, sometimes it seems that God also rejects our prayers. One reason that we receive so little from God is that we desire so little, importune so little. If our petitions are in conformity to the holy will of God, we must humbly persevere in prayer. He knows the best time to grant our petition. God either gives us what we ask or something better. Pray with perseverance and remain firm. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.